You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee.
America, we are passing through a time of great trial. And the message that we send in the midst of these storms must be clear, that our cause is just, our resolve unwavering. We will go forward with the confidence that right makes might, and with a commitment to forge an America that is safer, a world that is more secure, and a future that represents not the deepest of fears, but the highest of hopes.
President Obama has ordered an additional 30,000 troops into Afghanistan during his speech at West Point last night, but he balanced that buildup with a pledge to begin withdrawing American forces in 18 months. The president said his new policy is designed to bring this war to a successful conclusion, and he said the first new U.S. forces will join the fight by Christmas. The president also stressed the importance of handing power over to local authorities. There'll be more Americans there now, but...
It must be clear that Afghans will have to take responsibility for their security, and that America has no interest in fighting an endless war in Afghanistan.
And to be clear, the president did not say anything about an end to withdrawal, when we would finish withdrawing troops. He just said we would begin withdrawing them sometime during the summer of next year. We're joined now by Claire Lockhart, co-founder of the Institute of State Effectiveness, who served as an advisor to U.S. military officials as well as to the Afghan government after 2001. And Michael Gordon joins us. He's military correspondent for our partners, The New York Times, currently on leave writing a book. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Claire, let me begin with you. President Obama made the case for the 30,000 additional troops by saying this is a short-term surge in power that will lead to an eventual withdrawal. Does that make sense to you in terms of strategy, an effective strategy?
It does. General McChrystal's assessment of the summer set out very clearly an accurate reading of the ground conditions, that there had been deterioration in security, the weakness in governance had opened the way for the Taliban to come back since 2006. And what was needed, what is in effect a security bridge. The Afghan forces can't take care of security in their own country, so the additional forces are going to provide a security bridge. But their real focus is going to be on two things, protecting the population in the meantime and training up the Afghan national security forces. So that program is accelerated so that Afghan forces can take over the security of the country.
Okay, Michael, does it make sense to you militarily? And what I mean by that is, can we do this logistically? This is a landlocked country. The only way to get these troops in there is either by air or ship them in and then take them in by truck. It generally takes weeks and weeks to move equipment and troops into Afghanistan. Can we do this quickly?
Yeah, the short answer is yes. I mean, this is a plan that's been worked out over a period of months with General McChrystal, other military authorities are not going to sign on to a plan that they don't believe they can implement, and it really gives General McChrystal most of what he wanted.
Let me play you a cut from the president's speech last night.
Taken together, these additional American and international troops will allow us to accelerate handing over responsibility to Afghan forces and allow us to begin the transfer of our forces out of Afghanistan in July of 2011.
Okay, so Claire, much has been said about the talk of an exit strategy and whether or not strategically it weakens American strategy in Afghanistan. To talk about withdrawal just as we're beginning a surge, what do you think? Is this weakening his strategy?
I don't think it is. I think it recognizes, because the president has clarified that the U.S. forces and its allies are not in Afghanistan as an occupation, and that's really important. The Taliban is saying that the forces are there for occupation, but it's fundamental that it's clarified that the goal is to hand over to Afghan self-rule as soon and as long as they can exercise that self-rule, provide for their own security responsibly, so that they're not a threat to the region and the world.
Okay, so Michael, militarily, is it a military weakness, as many have said, to give people a timeline and a date for withdrawal? Is that weaken our military troops?
I think it does raise a question, and we have to be careful here, as you pointed out. In their backgrounder today, yesterday, by the way, the senior administration officials referred to this as a surge, and it really does apply a lot of the lessons of Iraq, which is somewhat ironic. It's now being applied to Afghanistan, giving President Obama's initial opposition to the surge in Iraq. That said, the risk is that the notion of beginning the withdrawal in July 2011, although they don't say how long it would take or how quickly it would be carried out. It's really aimed at the American public opinion. It's intended to shore up, I think, his Democratic base and convey that the war is not open-ended. The risk is that people in Afghanistan might read this as an indication that the Americans are only there for a short period. And I was speaking to an Afghan yesterday, expert, and he was raising the issue how many Afghans would really stand up and join their armed forces if they come to the conclusion that the Americans are only going to be there for a few years and are then going to largely withdraw. Now, that may not happen, but that may be how it's interpreted in Afghanistan.
And you raise an interesting question about who exactly this timeline is intended for, and it certainly did not get a lot of fans from the Afghan government. Here's the Afghan Defense Minister, General Wahim Wardek, recorded by Martin Patience with the BBC.
The enemy, from the beginning, have focused all their efforts to weaken the will of the international community. So now when I see this impatience in the international community, I mean, it looks like that they are just achieving what the enemy have longed for.
What do you think, Michael? Is this a sign, is this timeline from Obama a sign that international will to continue the fight in Afghanistan is weakening?
Well, you can't say it's weakening when the United States is on the verge of sending 30,000 troops and NATO is going to send somewhere between 5,000 and 10,000 troops. So I think that can't say it's weakening. But I think it does, there is a risk it'll send a mixed message. But, you know, we have to see what happens when we get there. You know, the famous saying that no plan survives contact with the enemy. There are going to have to be a lot of adaptations along the way. And really, we're talking about a decision that's going to be made 18 months from now. And again, they left themselves a lot of latitude. They can take out 500 people, or they can take out 20,000 people at that point in time and say we're beginning the process of withdrawal. But it's an effort, I think, mostly to reconcile American domestic opinion and the Democratic Party base with the strategic realities of Iraq. And I think it does pose a question, but I'm not saying they can't manage it, but it's one more complication.
Michael Gordon, the takeaway here, though, if you closely read this speech, it seems as though Obama and the Pentagon have given up on the whole territory strategy that we saw in the Helmand offensive, and they're really just securing areas for training of Afghan forces. Is that how you see it?
No, that's not how I see it. No, what they're doing, I believe, is General McChrystal's strategy, which is to protect population centers like, for example, Kandahar, which is really in great danger right now due to Taliban advances. So I really do think they're taking a leaf out of the Iraq surge and adjusting it for the cultural and geographic and military realities of Afghanistan, and the focus is on population centers and counterinsurgency.
Okay, that's Michael Gordon, military correspondent for our partner, the New York Times, and Claire Lockhart, co-founder of the Institute of State Effectiveness. She served as an advisor for U.S. military officials. The takeaway for me there, John, is that really there was no strategy that would have quieted all critics and questions.